Well, we're in closing very quickly on Christmas, right? And so tonight I want to talk about how Christmas changes our world, and not our world as in the world all around us, but our world as our individual world. And so think about that for just a minute. How does Christmas change your individual world, that around you, or yourself? How would you be different on December 26th, or January 18th, or February 12th, or March, etc., etc., etc.? Will you be happier then than you are today, or around Christmas time? Will you have more peace in your life 6 months from now than you do around Christmas time? Will you be a better person? Or are you simply going to have more things and owe more money? And have to work more hours to help eliminate the additional strain that the Christmas debt puts on your pocketbook. You know, if we're completely honest, Christmas really doesn't change our world that much, does it? And even for those of us who are Christians and believe in Jesus Christ and that He's God's Son, the Savior of the world, Christmas really doesn't change our world that much. It's empty in here tonight. It feels empty. Where is everybody? Yeah, we got some new folks up front here, but we won't embarrass them. So.
Well, they might have went away for the holidays.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway, sorry. Yeah, we're gonna get to that in a little bit. It's his birth. It's his first night with us, and it's also his 30th birthday. So. But we'll take care of that in a little while. So, yes. It's enough. I agree.
Yep. Walking through the door is enough.
All right. Back on target. Now that I took us way astray. So, if we're completely honest, as I said, does Christmas really change our world? You know, we celebrate Christmas as this American holiday about snow and mistletoe and Santa Claus and holly, right? And then we have all these busy activities. I've heard over and over in the last week, oh, I'm so busy, I can't get everything done, I'm busy. And we cram all this stuff into this time of year. And it's just part of how Christmas goes for us. But when everything is said and done, the only real change, again, that Christmas may bring to our world is that maybe we're a little bit more poor, we're a little bit more tired, and all this for an event, now don't throw anything at me yet, that God never called us to commemorate. God never called us to commemorate Christmas. We never once are asked in Scripture to remember Christmas and celebrate. Well, we are, let me rephrase that. We are asked to remember the birth of Christ, but not to celebrate Christmas as we do. That's our thing. And it's not a bad thing, but it's kind of this tradition that man put into place. And so it can be good, but the question is does it really change our lives? Or are we just going all about shopping and baking and eating a lot and gaining weight and getting tired and becoming more broke? So tonight I want to just touch on a couple of things, you know, that how Christmas truly, I think, when we walk away, should change our world or our lives. And the purpose of Christmas, the birth of Christ, was to bring change into our world. And again, I don't mean just the world in general. It is that. But I mean it came to bring a change to each one of us, each one of our individual personal worlds, where we carry out our life day to day, every day, on our job, in our relationships, in our families, our spirituality. All Christians should radically be transformed by Christmas, per se. Not transformed necessarily by the celebration of Christmas or this holiday that we created, but by the birth of Christ. And when the angels announced the birth of Christ, they said, and we're going to read here from Luke 2, But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens." I've got another version in my head. "And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor sets." That's hard when you know a different version than you're reading, and you're reading a different version. So the angels tell us that the arrival of Christ in our world, Christmas, is to be joyful. We're to be joyful. And it should be something that helps quell our fears. And it should be something that brings us peace. But I think, again, most of us today, even as Christians, wouldn't say that Christmas quells our fears or brings us peace or brings us joy. Again, I would say that we would be hard-pressed to say that. Does it really change our world? It should, and it can. So we're going to touch on three things, as I said. Christmas is going to change, should change our world by allowing me to experience the genuine love, or experience genuine love. And we know that God is love. And we've heard that said so many times, over and over. And sometimes when we hear things so many times, we start to not put meaning on it. But God is love. And John wrote to the first believers here, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Good, you're awake. And at Christmas, we celebrate God becoming flesh, right? We celebrate Him coming to earth and becoming a man so that all could become free from the power and the penalty of sin. And last week, we kind of talked about 1 John and how the infinite became the infant, right? And that I'm going to just touch on that, a couple of those scriptures again, because they're so important. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then we went on through the first part of John down to verse 14, and it says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and glory." God became a man because He loves us, not because He disloves us or hates us or dislikes us. He became a man so He could show us the way to Him. I'm going to read you a little story. There was a farmer, and on a winter evening just before dark, he heard something hit the bay window in his dining room. And he went outside to investigate it, and there was a small bird flying into the window. Boom. And it would fall, and it would get up, and it would fly into the window. Boom. It would get up and fall. I do that sometimes. Boom. Flying to the window. And further out in the yard, he saw a whole flock of all these little songbirds. And he realized that these birds were migrating south, and they'd been caught in this early winter snowfall. And they were cold, and they were scratching amongst in the snow trying to find food. And the one bird had seen the light in his house and was trying to get in where it was warm. So he just kept going, boom, into the window. Kind of a dumb bird. So the farmer had an idea. He had a large barn where the birds would be safe and they would be warm. And there was plenty of hay on the floor in the barn. So he figured they would have enough food and enough seed to eat. So he put on his coat and he went out to open the barn doors. And after he opened the doors, he stood aside and the birds wouldn't come in. They just sat out there and they were scratching in the snow like they were before. And he turned on the light, hoping that the light would attract them. No luck. So he started sprinkling some of the seed on the ground to make a path for them to follow. And they ate some of the seed, but they wouldn't come close to the barn. And fearing for their safety, he thought he'd be a little bit more drastic, and he planned to circle around behind the birds and chase them into the barn. And still, they wouldn't go into the barn. And after running himself ragged, he dropped to his knees on the snow And finally a thought hit him. If I were only a bird, I could tell them about the warm barn and the seed, and I could save their lives. And that's what Christmas is. Jesus becoming one of us so that we can understand God's plan. Jesus becoming one of us so that he could tell us where to find safety. And Jesus becoming one of us so that he could save us. And in Christmas, God becoming a man, we get to experience that love that he has for us. And we know in John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, there's another one I'm going to recite and not read, gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God loved us so much that he gave his Son. And you know, as I read that story about the man and the birds, think about God in heaven before sending his Son on his knees saying, I wish they knew, I wish I could show them where safety is. I wish I could show them the plan I have for their lives. I wish I could just save them. And so what he had to do was what that farmer couldn't do. He couldn't become a bird, but God could become a man. And that's what he did. And God loves us so much that he gave his Son, not to condemn us, but to save us. That's pretty amazing love, that God would come down from heaven and become one of us to show us and to save us. So, again, how does knowing about the love of God, the love that God had for us, that he came to this earth to become one of us, change my world? You know, knowing it doesn't change my world. It doesn't change it at all. Knowing about God's love isn't enough to change my world. I have to experience that love. We all have to experience the love of God. And we're never, I will never experience the love of God in Christmas until I truly believe in what God did for me. So Christmas changes my world by allowing me to experience that genuine love. The second way that Christmas changes my world is through providing me with lasting peace. Peace is something that most of us need and want and don't have, right? That's one of those things that we want and need and we don't have. Most of us spend a lot of time and energy trying to find peace, but have very little time experiencing peace. Decisions that we've made in the past and actions that we've done in the past take this haunting effect on us. Our desires to have a better and more fulfilling life keep us awake at night. Questions about what could have been or what should have been plague our minds. We want to be fulfilled and we want to be satisfied. We want to be complete, but we still lack completeness. And as a result of that, we lack peace. So rather than our days being filled with peace and confidence, our days are filled with stress and worry and anxiety. And often we find that this time of year that gets worse. You see people being even more stressed around Christmas time. And part of that is we always hear it's a peaceful time of year, it's a joyful time of year, but we're more stressed, right? So we can't seem to find peace in our own lives. And one of the greatest things about Christmas is that if we truly accept in faith what God gave us, his Son, again, then we can experience peace. And I want to talk just about three areas of peace that we experience. Number one is peace with God. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us right there that through Christ, we have peace. Jesus, that baby born in a barn and laid to rest in the manger, came so that we could be at peace with God, so we could no longer be separated from God. So by our sins, we're not separated from God. And as we know, sin separates us and puts us at odds with God. But Jesus came in order to pay for our sins. He came in order to bring us forgiveness. His death upon the cross paid the penalty for the sins that we owed. And so therefore, if we accept his sacrifice and the forgiveness that he provides us, we're then made right with God. We stand right with God. And when the relationship between God and man is fixed, between God and us is fixed, we then start to experience that peace with God. And a lot of us lack, much of the lack of peace that we experience is because we know that we've messed up in life. And we know that we've made mistakes and we've done things that are wrong. And we start to worry that God can't love us and God can't accept us for who we are and because of our past. And imagine the peace that you can have knowing that God has no record of your past. He has no record of the things that you've done wrong. Imagine the peace of knowing that God has erased your past sins from His memory. Imagine the peace of knowing that God isn't looking to punish you. He didn't come to earth as a baby and die for our sins to punish us, but He came seeking us and to love us and to embrace us. And so when you believe in the Christmas story, the whole story, not just the part about the baby in the manger, but the part also about the baby who grows up and dies on the cross to pay for our sins, the part about the baby turned man, rising from the grave and defeating sin and death, when you believe that whole Christmas story, then and accept God's forgiveness, you will experience peace with God. That's where peace with God comes from. Also, Christmas, the change of Christmas should also help us experience peace with others. Let's face it, we don't get along with everybody, right? We often don't live at peace with other people. We find that other people have a way of just disturbing our peace. I can't be at peace because it's Karen's fault, right? And she probably can't experience peace because it's my fault. And we never stop to consider that we tend to disturb the peace of other people. And that's usually more the case, I think. Living at peace with others is hard work. But Christ tells us to do that. And in Romans it says, if at all possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And He puts that on kind of on our shoulders. He doesn't say, everyone be at peace with you. He says, if it depends on you, that's me. I'm the one that has to live at peace with everyone, regardless of maybe what they've done for me. And then again in Romans, He says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Christmas help me experience peace with others? It relates to having, again, that true relationship with Christ. It's all about the relationship. When I understand what Christmas is all about, God providing me, first of all, like we just talked about, a way to be at peace with Him, I then can choose to be at peace in my relationships. Once we have peace with God, it's easier for us to be at peace with others. If God can forgive me and He can restore my relationship with Him, and then I know that He loves me and He doesn't hold anything against me, and I'm at peace with Him, it should be very easy for me to be at peace with others. If God can choose to be at peace with me, I can choose to be at peace with you and with others. I can learn to forgive others. If God can forgive me, and boy, if He can forgive me, I can forgive others. If I can learn, I then can learn to tolerate what it's all about, that what forgiveness is all about. I can learn to tolerate what kind of disturbs me or disrupts me in other people. And when I choose to live at peace with others, then I'll be less inclined to disturb their peace. So it kind of comes back to us. We're the ones that kind of have to initiate that. And thirdly, we'll have peace with ourselves. One of the greatest aspects of peace I get to experience because of Christmas is peace with myself. And I tell you what, in my more honest moments, I don't like myself very much. I don't like to look in the mirror sometimes and see the man that I am. I'm too aware of my failings and my sin in my life. But because of Christmas, I can have peace with myself. Not because what I've done, not because what I've done to help myself, but because I'm a new person in Christ, because I'm redeemed in Christ. Those that become Christians become new people. We become new in Him. And we're not the same anymore. That old life is gone. So I shouldn't be looking in the mirror and I shouldn't say, you know what, Russ, you did all these things wrong. And you know, you're not a good person because you did all this stuff wrong. So we're a new creation. And no, so then I can be at peace with myself. We look here in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. So that old life is gone and that new life has begun. I can be at peace with myself, not because I'm a good guy, I'm far from it, but because Christ, in Christ, I'm a new creation. I'm now a child of God. God lives within me. I'm not the same old person I used to be, the evil, hurtful, self-centered person I once was. In Christ, I'm forgiven, and I'm a new creation. And so that doesn't mean we have moments that we don't fail. We're still going to fail. But, you know, it does mean that in Christ, those moments become the exception to the rule. And it does mean that the longer, as we become stronger and as we grow in Christ, we become more and more that person that doesn't fail. But you know what? If we fail, His forgiveness is still there for us. We can still accept that forgiveness. So I can be at peace with me. You know, think about that. I can be at peace with me. I can love myself. That's a hard thing to say sometimes. Christmas changes my world because it allows me to experience, first of all, true love. And then it also provides me with this lasting peace, peace with God, peace with others, and peace with myself. And finally, Christmas gives my life purpose. Too many people aren't living their lives. Too many people are just existing. We just exist. We get up in the morning at 5 o'clock, and we go to work, and we come home and go back to bed, and we get up and we go to work and pay the bills, and we just exist, right? Too many people are moving day to day without any sense of purpose in their lives. And that lack of purpose leads to depression. It leads to frustration. It leads to self-destructive behavior. We see people who use drugs and alcohol a lot of times because their life has no purpose. They have no meaning. They have no enjoyment in life. And so that lack of purpose leads to the hopelessness that we see in our world. It leads to things like, you know, the shooting that we saw last week, and even there was a shooting today, I think, in a church. Somebody drove by a church and killed some people. That lack of purpose, that hopelessness, that depression that many of us felt before we knew Christ. But you know what? Christmas and the life of Christ is all about hope and purpose. It's all about new life. And rather than feeling defeated and lost during this time of year or during any time of year, we can have this sense of true hope because Christmas gives us purpose in our lives. Christmas brings hope because it drives home the fact that I was made for a purpose. God created me to be in fellowship with Him. He created us to have a relationship with Him. And that relationship is so important to God that, again, He sent His only Son to earth, again, to die for us, to show us how to be saved, to show us how to love, to repair the relationship that we had with Him that was broken. So my life now has purpose, and my purpose is to love God and to serve man. William Booth, anybody know who William Booth is? He's the founder of the Salvation Army. I cut you off, sorry. But William Booth, he said, a heart to God and a hand to man. And that's their slogan, a heart to God and a hand to man. Christmas is the coming of the Christ child, and it gives my life purpose. And Jesus came and became one of us so that we could fulfill our purpose, and that's to have a loving relationship with God. Back into John 1, where we were last week, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He came to that which was His own, but he did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, full of grace and truth, came from the Father. And to restore that relationship, the relationship that we were created to have with God, and to restore the relationship that we are to have with each other, that to serve each other. His birth, his death, and his resurrection gives us that purpose in life. Imagine living every day of your life with a clear sense of purpose. And as Christians, we can do that because our purpose is to have a relationship with God. Our purpose is to serve each other, to know God, and to please God. Everything else fades away when you make God your focus. All the other worries and all the other stresses start to fade away when we make God our focus. I have hope and purpose every day when I understand that in everything, big or small, I can grow to know God more and more each day, and I can live to please Him. And so, yeah, I believe that because of Christmas, we have a purpose in life. But it all starts with that foundational purpose of knowing God and pleasing God. And in Christmas, Jesus provides us the way to know God. He provides us the way to know Him personally and intimately. And we're given hope and purpose at Christmas. So how does Christmas change our world? It's not through the gifts and the memories, right? That's part of it. It's not just through time spent with family. It's not through all the trappings that this world has made in this holiday. Christmas, as we celebrate it, I don't think changes our world. Not at all. But Christmas, as the birth of Christ, the Son of God made flesh, the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, like we talked about last week, God with us, changes my world. When that's my focus, that's how Christmas changes my world. It allows us to experience that genuine love and provides us with lasting peace and gives us purpose. So Christmas will change your world if you allow it to. If you allow and have your focus right, Christmas will change your world. Let's pray. Lord God, we're just so thankful that you did, again, come to earth as a man, Lord. You sent your Son, your only Son, to show us how to live. Lord, so that we could, first of all, experience that genuine love. Lord, there's so many things in this world, and so many false sources of love. We look to man or to each other for love, Lord, and so many lusts of this world, Lord, that try to mask true love. But the only true love that we can experience is the love that you have given us, Lord. And because you came to this earth and you died for us and you rose again, Lord, we can experience that true love that you've given us, Lord. And also we can experience that peace. Lord, our days can be less filled with worry and stress. Lord, help us to focus, Lord, on the things that you've done with us. And due to our relationship being repaired with God through Christ, in Christ, our past doesn't have to haunt us, Lord. The things that we see when we look in the mirror, Lord, aren't there because you've erased them, Lord. You've forgiven us those things, Lord. Lord, help us to be at peace with others. Lord, we know it's so easy, Lord, to be offended. Lord, and when we're offended by others, Lord, that's our choice to be offended. Lord, because they say something to us and it hurts us, Lord, that's our choice to let it hurt us. And Lord, if we live under your Spirit, Lord, we can be at peace with others. We can learn to be at peace with ourselves. In Christ, we're new creations. We're not the same person that we used to be, Lord. And God loves us more than the sparrow. Lord, He loves us so much that He sent His Son to show us, Lord, how to show us life, Lord, and to show us how much you loved us, Lord. And we're thankful that Christmas gives us true purpose, Lord, that you created us for a purpose, and that's to have a relationship with you. Part of our purpose, Lord, is just as Christians, is to share your love with others, Lord, and help us to live that out, that purpose. Help us to live a life as our lives as testimonies, Lord. Lord, as we walk through our each day and through our jobs, as walking through the stores and the malls or on the street, Lord, let us live our lives in a way that's different, so people can feel your Spirit coming from us, Lord, and so that we can see them also enter into a relationship with you, and so they can learn to have the love and the peace Lord, and the purpose in their lives. Lord, we pray for the individuals who may have lost loved ones this year that are alone. Lord, we pray for those who have broken families and children, Lord, without parents or who may be suffering. People drowned in addiction, Lord, and other binding lifestyles. Lord, we ask that you just free them this Christmas. Lead someone to them, Lord, to their lives or to their doors, Lord, that can help share the gospel with them, Lord, and help take that burden of addiction or other binding lifestyles, Lord, off them, Lord. And we pray for the homeless and the hungry, Lord, and the weary, beaten up by this world. Lord, we know that you love them just like you love us, Lord. You don't love any of us any more than the other, Lord. And so we ask that you just bless them, Lord. Touch them. Touch their bodies and their minds and their spirits, Lord. We pray for those who may be incarcerated, Lord, right now. We pray for their families, Lord, that there's so many children without fathers this year, Lord, because their fathers are in jail. And Lord, we ask that you bless those fathers and you bless those children and those mothers, Lord, who are alone without their fathers. Lord, we pray for Christians in other countries, Lord, that may not be able to stand out in the open like we are tonight and to worship you and to glorify your name, Lord, without being afraid of being persecuted. Lord, we ask that you bless them, and just we know that you can work, you work in their hearts, Lord, and let them just feel that joy and that peace in their heart, Lord. We know they probably want to jump up and down, Lord, but we know they do it in their heart, and we thank you for that. Lord, again, I thank you for each one here tonight. I pray that you'll just continue to bless their lives, Lord, and help us all to walk away this year with new meaning of what Christmas truly is, Lord. Help us to put aside the things of this world, Lord, and live by the Spirit and know that Christmas is truly about you. It's about you coming to earth, Lord. It's about you saving our souls. It's about you dying on that cross so that we may be free. Lord, I bless each one as they go home. We ask these things in your name. Amen.